for two. Kickers are extra, I give them the boot. Ooh, going for two. Sit back, relax while I grab me a brew. Ooh, now I'm reclining while putting my time and I'm ready to go. My spine is aligning and much my lineups, my bank account grow. I am so rich, but knowledge is all that I'm leaving it with. Ooh, listen to this. Multiple options, how far can I get? Ooh, DFS Dynasty redraft tonight, I'm not finishing last. I'm finishing past any and all, I am looking to last.
What else?
This spot is popping and I am so locked in, and only opening the door when it is opportunity knocking. And all of these spots keep on talking and talking. So what are we talking? What kind of alignment and running it deep? Even players forgotten or came from the bottom or hitting that topping. And this spot is popping, yeah, this spot is popping. And woo! This is the arm chat. Yeah. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm, yeah.
What is going on, guys, and welcome to episode 368 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Apologize for last week. I know we came back 2 weeks ago for our first show of the year after a long hiatus and then immediately took the next week off. I got sick last week and was not feeling it. So this is only our second show of the season, but we had a great one planned for y'all tonight. Of course, you can find us, as always, on the Going for Two Live Podcast Network. We're here every Wednesday at 9:30 on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, syndicated in all major podcast networks, and you can also find us at goingfor2.live. I'm usually here with my co-host, Ryan. Unfortunately, he could not make it tonight, but filling in for him tonight, Mr. Kyle Senra. Of course, he is the... he's podcast host on this network on multiple shows, but his main one is right now in the off season is Press Coverage. He has his own podcast as well. I'll let him mention that, but you can follow him on Twitter at Senra Says. What's up, Kyle?
I was gonna be like Ryan and do no research and be just like laid back and Ryan Sirfoss. No, I'm Kyle Senra, not Sirfoss. Clearly, although I do love Sirfoss, he's great. But I couldn't make it tonight, so. Yes, you're stuck with me. That's the second choice, but going for two. So we're all about the, you know, number two choice. That was awful. That's not about as good as a Frost intro. So he'll be proud. But yes, I also, on top of doing stuff for Going for Two, I co-host the Full Press Fantasy Pod and the Full Press Packers Pod, and I'll pass it over to our actual guest.
Yes, just joining us tonight, Mr. Jeff Bell of Football Guys, and he is also co-host of the Devi Royale. You can find him at For Whom J. Bell Tolls, and formerly of Going for Two. He way back when Debbie Royale was on the Going for Two Live Network. We were glad to have him then. And Jeff is kind of he's gone big time, but he comes down every once in a while and is slumming with us a little bit. So Jeff, man, what's up?
I don't know about all that. No, thank you so much for having me here. When you reached out, I leapt at the opportunity because, like you mentioned, Going for Two is where I started. And I think that that's really huge. And you were very helpful and very impactful on my journey through. And Kyle, you were as well. Like, Kyle, you were great and kind when I got started. And really, I think one of my very first podcasts happened to be with you, Kyle. And I do remember that. So it means a lot to be able to be here, to be able to be week two on Going for Two on the off season. And we definitely have a lot of things happening in football right now. And I think half of the Bills are no longer on the Bills now, apparently, after today. But we'll see how that goes. But like you mentioned, Football Guys, and you can find me on Twitter, For Whom J. Bell Tolls. Football Guys Dynasty Show going on right now. Football Guys Rookie Guide version 2 is coming out very, very soon. And then, you know, throughout the offseason, just kind of write some Dynasty content as things come up. And the Dynasty Captain, unbelievably, over at Football Guys. Nice. So that's cool.
That is pretty awesome, man. That is great to see, you know, how you've kind of grown in this industry from where you started. It's pretty cool, man. I love seeing it. All right. As always, guys, tonight's show is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Check out their industry-leading best ball leagues, huge tournaments, private leagues as well. They got pick-ems for all major sports. Sign up using our promo code GF2 and get a deposit match up to $100. It's as simple as that. Just go get the app, download the app, or you can go to the website, use promo code GF2, or you can scan that barcode that Kyle so kindly put there in front of Jeff.
Sorry, Jeff.
Just scan Jeff's face, and you can get the promo code there. And start drafting. I know the B-League on the Going for Two Live Network has his best ball show. He put out one actually today. You can go check that out on replay on YouTube. He's doing best ball drafts. You can check that out. Again, that promo code is GF2. As I mentioned, we got a jam-packed show tonight. We're going to talk about, of course, the Combine. We just came out. We got risers and fallers. We're also going to do a little bit of they are who we thought they were. We'll do some listener questions if we get time. And, of course, Jeff's going to close it out with the forgotten fantasy player. But we'll kick it off, as we always do, with our nonsense draft.
Attention, everyone. Let's mock draft.
All right. Today we are drafting movie robots for a battle royale. We'll each get three picks in this draft, and we're going to basically fight against each other to see who comes out on top. And, of course, as always, our guest gets to go first with the 101. Jeff, go ahead and take us away here.
I mean, you didn't put any restrictions on this, and it's almost not even fair, but my 101 is Ultron. Ultron is going to be my 101. When you look at what he was able to do against the Avengers, really almost bring them down single-handedly. But the thing about Ultron is he can control other robots. And so, you know, that's one of his powers. And so I kind of have the expectation that Ultron is going to really just get inside your guys' minds and take it from that direction. Yeah. So I'm going to take Ultron as the clear 101.
Ultron was definitely on my list. That's a great choice. I was kind of hoping y'all would have forgot about Ultron. You know, 2 weeks ago we did a show and Ryan forgot about the Avengers being a time travel movie, the Endgame. So that was what we were doing last week, time travel. I was hoping y'all wouldn't think about Ultron as a robot. But, of course, Jeff kills it here with the 101. All right, I got the 102 and kind of took the wind out of my sails a little bit because I did want to go Ultron here. But I'm going to go with the original, the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator. I could have gone with the T2, the T-1000, whatever it is, in Terminator 2 with the liquid metal. But in my view, he lost eventually to Arnold Schwarzenegger in that movie. So I'm going to take the original, the T-800, Arnold Schwarzenegger version of the Terminator, and hopefully be able to take on Ultron, who's a little bit more advanced, I think, in general. But I like the badass nature of Mr. Terminator. Kyle, you got the 103.
So the name of the draft is Robots for Battle Royale. So I can then draft all of the Sentinels from the Matrix.
Nice. So
have that swarm of Sentinels coming at you. Because I mean, gigantic, tentacly, quick-moving, giant machine monsters that can kind of combine to create artificial intelligence too.
Yeah, that's a good one. I had that on my list as well. That's a great pull. Yeah, good stuff. All right, Jeff, back to you at the 201 here.
You know, I thought Kyle sniped me with the direction that he said, because my pick is actually the Sentinels from X-Men Days of Future Past that were able to evolve and adapt and pick up powers of all the X-Men. And so I think that when you've got an army of these Sentinels that can just evolve and adapt and to whatever is being thrown at them, and you've got Ultron leading it, I think you're in some big trouble.
Yeah, I think y'all are killing it right now. I'm stuck with one robot. Y'all have a whole army of robots already. I don't know if I could top that. I'm here at the 202, and I'm going to give his official name, and then I'm going to explain who he is. IG-88. He is the bounty hunter droid from Star Wars, famous from, you know, from The Mandalorian, but he was actually in the originals as well. Very brief appearance. But if you've ever seen how he can fight in a battle, I mean, he's shooting in all different directions, shooting behind him, shooting, you know, everywhere. So he's kind of a one-man army. So I'll take IG-88, the bounty hunter droid from Star Wars, at the 202 here. Kyle, you got the 202.
I was thinking about R2-D2 as well. There's quite a few the droids in Star Wars. There are quite a lot. So, and yeah, R2 kicks a lot of butt, too. I mean, he beat two super battle droids on his own.
That's so true. Yep. You're not going to draft R2 here, are you?
No.
I was kind of hoping you would. I think.
No, I'm going to go with, I mean, like, especially if I'm trying to compete with Jeff right now, I need this leader. I need his version of Ultron. Who would be as commanding of a leader and fighter? Very intelligent, experienced Transformer. I'm going to go with Optimus.
I knew it. Yeah, I knew it. I knew that's where you were going with that one. That's a great pull. Yeah, good call. All right, Jeff, you got here the 301 here. This is your final pick.
So I am going to go with, I'm really on the fence here on what direction to go. I think I probably have enough damage on my team already. So I'm going to take Mechagodzilla and have a tank to coming at you. So I've got my tank to soak up all your attention there as I'm attacking. And then as Ultron is just kind of taking control of everything. So
nice. That's a great squad right there for sure. So I'm going to close it out here with my last pick at the 302, and I'm going to take the nemesis of Mr. Optimus Prime here, and I'm going to go with Megatron. And you know, I want the version from the cartoon though, with he turns into a gun. That's the version that I want, because he was pretty badass back in the 80s. So I'll take Megatron here at the 302. All right, Kyle, close us out here. What you got?
I'm gonna maybe cheat here, because this robot does technically appear in the movies. Oh wait, do they? I guess there is no danger room. Never mind. I don't think I can use this. Is there a danger room in any of the X-Men movies? Because my original answer is gonna be danger, because it's actually another artificial intelligent.
There's no rules tonight. Creature. We'll allow it. We'll allow it.
Sure. There's X-Men movies. So yeah, the danger room. At some point, Xavier installed. There's like Shi'ar technology into the danger room and made it a lot better, but it's actually a sentient creature that's been, you know, a lot of times studying the X-Men's moves, eventually found a way to liberate itself, become its own sort of entity. And it kind of chooses this like, you know, human shape, but robot form, but it can kind of morph, extend its reach, get quite large. I could thinking something with size, because it seems like Jeff's got the best team. Like we're all trying to compete with Jeff right now.
So Jeff definitely took the
cake. The almost the tank version, but not quite. I don't know that it could take that much damage, but it could also dish out, could transform into a vehicle, get high speed. So I'm going to go with danger.
Good stuff.
Because it can be very dangerous.
Yeah.
There was some serious thought put into my team, so I was happy the way the board fell for me. So
yeah, you definitely did your homework, because you
roster
definitely...
construction is important.
Yeah, 100%. You crushed it for sure. All right, that was the nonsense draft. We're going to jump into some combine risers and fallers.
Stock up. Stock down.
All right, Jeff, I want to go to you first, because there's a guy on your list here, the first receiver on your list, that I've heard a lot of age concerns with this guy, and I'm curious to why you think he helped himself here in the combine, Mr. Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, I mean, there's age concerns with every single player in this draft, it feels like. We are kind of getting the remnants of that COVID year, and I think we're really getting, I think teams looked and saw that they're going to have these guys for 3, 4, 5 seasons, and kind of made them their star players a little bit over the last couple of years. And so Ricky Pearsall came in, and when you look at his profile, I knew the hands were there, and I think that the technical skill when it comes to route running was there. He is a much, much better athlete than I imagined he was. I had him down, I think, outside of even my top 20 wide receivers, and I've moved him all the way up into number 13 in my wow. receiver rankings right now, because just he tested that well. And this is a player that he's shown the ability to win in the slot, shown the ability to win outside, has those great hands. And I think he's got a lot of positive momentum. He's showing up inside top 50 lists for, I believe, Daniel Jeremiah, maybe his last top 50 list had him inside there. And I think Todd McShay's got him maybe on his as well. And so Pearsall, I think, is a player that's primed to be probably a day two pick. And he could even fall to the second later half of day two. And that means that he's landing on a playoff team with a good quarterback. And so I think that sets up very well for him.
Yeah, that's a good call. And he definitely rose to my rankings well. I don't think I quite have him as high as you, but he definitely moved up in the combine. I'm not quite as in-depth in the rookies as you are. I know you're kind of a Debbie guy, so these guys are 2 years old to you already, seemingly, because you've been talking about them for 2 years now.
I mean, you're like Debbie royalty.
I don't know. I mean, you're too kind.
Yeah. All right, Kyle, you got a receiver here that I want to hear a little bit about as well, Mr. Xavier Leggett.
Well, these are all Ryan's guys, so I have no idea who this is. No, I'm just kidding. Leggett. Yeah, I was pretty low on him coming into the combine. And I really don't even take RAS scores and combine that much for wide receivers. So he's probably not going to go up in my rankings very much. I had him at wide receiver 10, though. But with a good combine, maybe he moves up ahead of, who do I have ahead of him? Roman Wilson, Devontae Walker, Troy Franklin, Brian Thomas. Apparently Brian Thomas had a really bad combine, so maybe he could move up. There's another Xavier, though, that I felt, I think in most people's minds would rise, but I actually have had him as a top three wide receiver.
Really?
The whole time, which is really just me looking at the numbers. But I'll go with Xavier Worthy as he broke the record for the 40-yard dash.
100%.
I think he's cemented as my wide receiver three in this class, but he was already there for me anyway, so I don't really say he's a riser. I've kind of viewed him as one of the three best receivers here anyway.
Yeah, that's 100%.
Really early breakout age, like age 18, so he's immediate producer as a freshman. It's a tough thing to do. It's a really good signal. So in this class that is super high at the very top, especially the top two, I think he comes in almost as good as those guys.
Yeah, good stuff. So y'all both went with receivers. I'm going to look at a running back. And this guy that, 2 weeks ago I mentioned we had our show, and we actually had Brian Ford on the show, who's actually in the chat. And he mentioned this running back. And at the time, I hadn't really done any research on him, hadn't heard a lot about him. And it's kind of like, if you've ever bought a new car, you buy the new car and you think, it's a nice car. And then you start driving it and you start seeing this car everywhere else that you like, man, I didn't realize how popular my car was. I keep seeing it everywhere I go. There's my car. And this is kind of like Jalen Wright was. Like, I had heard Brian Ford talk about him. I said, okay, I'm gonna go look at him, see if I like him or not. And then I started seeing him everywhere. I saw, Jeff Bell mention him on Twitter, and I saw other guys talking about him. And I put a graphic out on Facebook on, who do you think can help their stock the most in the combine, obviously pre-combine. And his name came up quite often, and I was like, wow, so this guy really rose up my rankings. I think I have him as my RB4 currently. And before, I barely even had him in my top 12. So he really looked good at the combine. His tape looks really good as well. I think he can be, an every down running back in the NFL. He definitely showed out pretty well. And in the 2 weeks that we had Brian on until now, Wright has been a very popular name in a lot of analysts' mouth.
Yes, he was right.
Yeah.
I'll admit I was right too, because I pat myself in the back. I had him as a top five running back before the combine. He was number one on my burst score as well. So the speed, I'm not surprised with that. That was totally apparent to me on tape.
Yeah.
Great footwork too. I think probably a top three running back in this class for me right now.
He was number one in our Football Guys Rookie Guide, running back one, when we released that last month. So
you're right.
Yeah, talk stuff. About where probably a little bit of might have been the remnants of where you're seeing him everywhere, because he was really off the radar before that.
Yeah, 100%. So speaking of off the radar, Brian Ford actually wanted me to ask you about him, and I see him on your list. And he's not on my radar, so I'm curious if we can do the same thing we did here with Jalen Wright, Jeff. Talk about Mr. Ryan Flournoy. I don't even know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, Ryan Flournoy. He is a wide receiver from Southeast Missouri State. And so he started out, he again is another older guy, but at the combine, he tested as a top five wide receiver in terms of athleticism. He was one of the strongest, and I think he led in bench, or he was really close, might have been second in bench reps. He ran a 4.4. He had a vertical, I think 39 and a half inch vertical. So very just explosive player. He started out at the Hula Bowl, and then he had a great performance at the Hula Bowl that earned him an invitation to the Senior Bowl. And so it's kind of, I talked about him on our Dynasty show that was released this week, but it's one of those that you start to see guys get these from, especially from these small schools, go to a smaller bowl like the Hula Bowl All-Star Game, and then start to kind of hit every step along the way. And that can gain a lot of positive momentum towards being potentially a day two pick.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I'll definitely have to go take a look at him, because like I said, he wasn't even on my radar. Good stuff there. Kyle, you have a guy in your list there, a tight end, actually. I think a tight end that's probably moved up into the top three on most people's rankings right now. Had a pretty good combine as well. Talk about Theo Johnson.
Well, he scored a 9.99 RAS score, so it's almost as good as it can get. And, I mean, Mr. Athletic Profile himself is in the chat, Jamie, so he'll respect this. But really, it's maybe the one thing that matters most for tight ends, coming in especially, is athleticism. Most of them don't produce in college, because most teams just aren't throwing to their tight ends or don't understand how to use them anyway. So you got a few that do produce, but for the most part, this is what we're looking for. So to me, I didn't know anything about any tight end. Like Brock Bowers still doesn't have an RAS score, so I'm not even sure he exists. So as far as I know, Theo Johnson's the best tight end in this class and is one of the best tight end prospects ever. But of course, no, I think it'd be irresponsible to have Bowers at anything but one. But like Jadeveon Sanders, he was kind of viewed as that number two guy. 8.06 on the RAS score. That's good. That's very Michael Mayer-esque. And I was not so high on Michael Mayer. It turns out, you know, rookie season wasn't what we expected. Other guys with better RAS scores were more productive. So I could argue Theo Johnson's the tight end two in this class.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you won't get much argument from me because, you know, like you mentioned, Jadeveon Sanders did have a bad combine. I think, you know, this tight end class to me is you know, obviously a lot better than the classes we've had in the past. Not last year excluded. 2 years ago, you mentioned that it wasn't as great a class. And this class with these three tight ends, I think these guys are going to be pretty good pros going forward. All three of them are athletic. Let's do one more, Jeff. You have another name there, Tyrone Tracy.
Yeah, Tyrone Tracy, running back from Purdue. And Isaac Garundo from Louisville got a lot of momentum. He almost had a perfect 10 relative athletic score. But Tyrone Tracy was right behind him at 9.78. This is, again, another older player. He was a wide receiver for Iowa. He went to Purdue and switched to running back. And so you hear wide receiver switch to running back, you think immediately, okay, there's receiving ability there. He's 2'10", at 9.78 relative athletic score, so he's very explosive, athletic. He is older. Again, all my guys are like 24, 25 years old, but that's kind of a theme that I think that you'll see throughout this class. And I mentioned that at the start. And so maybe a little bit of an older prospect and maybe kind of profiles into just a third down type role or a passing down role. But we know the way fantasy football is moving, if you get a back that can catch some passes and especially a back that has some explosion and can hit a big play, there can be a lot of value there.
100%. Yeah, that's a good call. So my last one that I had as a riser, and I don't know if I can call him a riser because I don't know if he was able to rise too highly in my rankings because I already had him, I think, receiver four, receiver five. Brian Thomas Jr., at 209 pounds, 6 foot three, to run the 40 that he ran. What did he run? A 4.33. I think he was second, obviously, to Xavier Worthy. His speed score is at 99th percentile. He's, you know, he has the production on top of that as well. He's not just a big, fast guy. He has production in college. So, like I said, I don't know if he can rise too much in my overall rankings because he was already pretty high to begin with. But it more or less solidified that I think Brian Thomas is going to be a first-round NFL draft pick and clearly a first-round dynasty rookie pick as well. So he was my last riser. Let's look at some fallers. Let's look at some guys that didn't quite do as well as we thought they would do. I'll go to you first, Kyle. You have a running back there, Cody Schrader, that I know was a pretty popular name. I know Jamie in the chat really liked him as well. Talk about him as a faller.
And it's funny because I think Dylan Johnson fits right into this category. Two guys I was pretty high on coming in. I think, let me look. Yeah, I had him at Schrader at RB6, Dylan Johnson at RB8 for the combine. And there's a lot of guys around them. We don't have the RAS scores yet. Some of them didn't participate. So I'm hesitant to move them down too much until like the guys I have 9, 10, 11, we don't have RAS scores. If they're not that very good, I may not lower them that much there. But yeah, Cody Schrader, Dylan Johnson both had sub 5 RAS scores. So 4.35 for Dylan Johnson, 4.12 for Schrader. The thing about both is production is great. For instance, Dylan Johnson had a season with he had several seasons with lots of receptions, but 1 year with 65 catches, which is the most of any running back in this class. So even when he wasn't getting a ton of carries, because I think he like that season he had 65 catches, I think he had less than 100 carries. So even when he wasn't the primary back, teams still found ways to prioritize using him as a receiver. So like that's super important in today's NFL PPR leagues for Dylan Johnson. Schrader, just tons of production, averaged 1,350 scrimmage yards per season. Coming out of Missouri, that's usually a pretty good school I'm thinking Memphis. There's another guy coming out of that school, but Memphis is usually a running back factory. Missouri, not so much, but still. Seems like Schrader, I mean, to me, there aren't many running backs in this class that like truly pass the eye test in the sense that like elite guys, like we've seen a lot of elite guys the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, it's very flat.
We don't have that, but there also are quite a few guys that like look okay, decently. Okay. They're decent technique. Like they look like they could make it as pros. And Trader definitely looked that way to me on tape. Production's there, but yeah, this 4-1-2 RAS score definitely has the risk to make him fall down these rankings once we get more pro days happen and we'll be more solidified on the full athleticism, especially at this running back position, which may not have a ton of draft capital. So if you're dealing with a lot of guys with late capital, you want to take the upside shots on the better athletes. Cody Schrader, very likely, but very potential fall in the rankings.
Yeah, good call. So my follower that I had, and I don't know if it's necessarily that he fell because of how he performed. I know he had some issues with the gauntlet. I think he dropped 3 of the passes in the gauntlet. But Braylon Allen, and then also not running the 40. You know, it's tough. We always say don't pay attention to the 40 for certain things. And then we have guys that either run bad 40s or don't run 40s at all, and somehow we still dig them for it. So Braylon Allen kind of fell in a lot of rankings. He did fall in mine a little bit as well. I think he still might be in my top 5 running backs, but I'm hoping that he runs the 40 at his pro day. Hopefully he performs better than he did at the combine, because I still do really like him, but I think people kind of took that, the fact that he didn't run the 40, as a negative. And I see you nodding your head, Jeff. I'm curious, do you have something that you want to chime in there on Braylon Allen about him not running the 40? Or
no, I was just laughing at Kyle. I'll chat there, so.
You have to fill the screen somehow.
Yeah, I put the chat up because the chat was kind of going crazy, and then as soon as I put it up there, everybody stopped talking. So,
you put it in the world, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, you got to just almost guess. Okay, is this going to be a big chat night? As soon as you see Jamie in there, like a minute before, you just put the chat up immediately. Yep. And just let him roll.
100%. Yeah. So, hey, Jeff, I want to get your opinion on Braylon Allen. Like, what did you do in your rankings with him not running the 40?
I didn't see a lot of movement with the running backs. I think I had Trey Benson as my running back 1 coming in, and he ran that 4.39, which made you feel good about that. I had already had Braylon Allen kind of in that next tier, because I liked Benson, I liked Jalen Wright, I liked Marshawn Lloyd, and I liked I'm drawing a blank on
Jonathan Brooks.
Yeah. Yes, Jonathan Brooks. Because I see them as having a skill set, a 3-down skill set, the ability to catch passes, the ability to be early down backs. Allen caught a lot of passes this past year at Wisconsin, but it was a lot of dump down passes. It was just very, he wasn't going down the field making plays, and I don't think that that's going to be in his wheelhouse at the NFL level. So he's not a natural pass catcher. And so that kind of dinged me for him. But I think you really are looking at this class and about 8 running backs or so that you're just kind of waiting and seeing in landing spots and draft capital. I'm really hesitant to rank these guys because I feel like all 8 of them, like any of the 8, could be running back 1. Yep. If they were to land in Dallas or land with the Chargers or something like that. And any of them could end up being buried, like we saw some of the running backs last year with Zach Charbonnet, with Kendre Miller, players that we were excited about coming in end up in very crowded backfields. Circle back real quick on Dylan Johnson. Kyle, you mentioned his 65 receptions. That was in a Mike Leach offense. And so that's why he didn't really run the ball, because it's a Mike Leach offense and they're going to throw the ball 80 to 90% of the time at Mississippi State. So he does have that receiving ability, but he was a disappointing tester there. Another disappointing tester for me, Ray Davis, is a player that I've seen get a fair amount of buzz, the Kentucky running back. He's been productive, but this is another older guy. And so if I'm going to bet on an older guy, I want somebody that has aced the testing and that, as opposed to an older running back that didn't. I think that that's a recipe for maybe a late day 3 pick that finds himself way down the depth chart and has to work their way up.
Yeah,
I had Ray Davis as my RB1. Just based on film grades. And I think I've, even just based on production, there's one guy that really stood out to me from Memphis. He has yet to test. So he's my RB1 for now, but he could test even worse athletically. But yeah, but it was Ray Davis's RAS score. It's pretty bad. It's 6.12.
Yeah.
So I still have him up there in my top 5. But yeah, it's a little less confident than it was a week ago.
You got one more guy there, Jeff, that actually I had never even heard his name until I saw it here on the sheet. I actually had to widen it out because it's a three-name player. I had to widen the sheet out so I can read it. Marcus Roseme Jack Saint. Is that how you say that?
Yes. Marcus Roseme Jack Saint, wide receiver for Georgia. And I thought he was going to test very, very well at the combine. This is one that, you know, we've seen Georgia. Obviously, they have Brock Bowers, Ladd McConkey even, and he's been a contributor there. They had a Donnie Mitchell prior to his transfer. So we know there's very loaded, talented room. He has been a key player for them the past 2 years. Last year, the year before this past year, he was a lot more of a vertical threat, a big play receiver. This past year, he was kind of more of a slant receiver. They used him a little bit more in the intermediate game. He's a good blocker. He's a good contributor. He just didn't test much. And when he did test, it just wasn't particularly good to the level of a lot of the buzz around him, where he could potentially be. He did catch a touchdown in the Senior Bowl. And he looked good on that play from Spencer Rattler down the sideline. But other than that, it was just disappointing. A player that I was excited to see come perform at the combine, hit a 35-inch vertical, which was towards the low end. He didn't do any of the other testing, didn't run, didn't do any of the like the three cone or anything like that.
Gotcha. All right, let's get to some guys that.
Sorry, Jeff.
Go ahead.
Jamie is asking about Bucky Irving. And to be fair to Foss, Foss did put in as a faller, but I'm not Foss. And I'm actually pretty low on Bucky Irving. I've been pretty low on him the whole process. He was my RB13 for my tape grades out of 21. And out of 21, he finished 20th in contact balance. So not really hate seeing that. Just small guy, but some small guys can stay strong. He can't. 17th in footwork as well. So for a smaller guy, his technique, I think, is not very good at all. So to me, he's not much of a follower. He's probably staying right around that 13 to 15 range of RB anyway, because I'm pretty anti-Bucky Irving. I think Brian Ford had him at RB1, so
yeah,
I have been the opposite of Bucky Irving, as a lot of the community has. And I love Oregon. Like, that's probably my favorite school in the NCAA. I love their jerseys. I had a couple cousins that actually went to school. So, okay, well, that's going to be, you know, familiarity ties, I suppose. So, yeah, if we're going to... Cheer. If we need bias for any player, it'd be Oregon players, you think. But yeah, I do not like Bucky Irving at all.
Fair enough. There's another question in the chat here from Johnny Mack, too. And Foss had him on his list as well, Audric Estime. You know, and the easy comp is Kyren Williams, who ran a slow 40 as well. Jeff, what are your thoughts on Audric Estime and how he performed at the combine? And do you think that really, really hurt his draft stock and his dynasty stock?
I was disappointed because he ran in the 4.7s, and that's a player that he does show a decent amount of athleticism on tape. He was a kind of a high level recruit. He came in, didn't do much his first two seasons, and then had a massive year this year. I don't know what the touchdown number was off the top of my head, but I know he was scoring almost every single week because I was betting on him to score every single week, and it was hitting quite a bit. So, but there's that. It's just a kind of one of these physical backs. He hasn't shown a lot in the passing game at all. And so, you're looking at an early down back. I know that he had a visit with the Buffalo Bills, was the team that he talked with, but I think kind of it's almost like the dollar store Braylon Allen. It probably kind of look at it that way. I do like him though, but then the other thing, circling back on Bucky Irving real quick, he's like a smaller, slower version of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, where he had a great production, a lot of receiving, but because they had Troy Franklin, they had Tez Walker, and a lot of what they were doing was running guys off, and he was catching balls underneath, and he's not a player that I was particularly high on either.
Yeah.
And Brian Ford, with the perfect timing on the comments that my running back rankings are always wild, he was my RB2 in deep grade. And he had the highest contact balance, but he's the exact opposite of Bucky Irving. So yeah. I love Audric Estime, especially because I feel like I want to pronounce his name Audric Estime. It sounds like a francophone. Italia Notre Dame. Like, everything about him sounds French. I think the combine's disappointing. You say poor man's Braylon Allen. I'm pretty sure. I guess we don't have a relative athletic score on Braylon Allen, but I think he's just better than Braylon Allen, to be honest.
I think he probably is too, to be honest with you. Yeah. In terms of buzz and in terms of expectations. So.
Yeah. His RAS score wasn't horrible. Like, it's not like Ray Davis. Like, I'd probably have them ranked probably RB2 to 4 anywhere in that range still.
Yeah.
Cause to me, like, the one guy I have Trey Benson at RB12 based on tape grade and production, but he's the one guy that might rise the most to maybe even be in that top five. But to me, the top five has been pretty solid. Right now, I've actually got Blake Watson as my RB1. I just want to see I want to see what his athletic testing is, because that's the one that makes me nervous, because he's got the production.
Yeah.
Great pass catcher as well. It came really good in my tape. He's actually, I thought, pretty similar to Estime too. Really good contact balance. Those two profile, they get roles in the NFL. There's definite touchdown upside there. They could be goal line backs, and that can really enhance. Watson's also got like the capacity, man. He could be a pass catching back, like really true three down workhorse role. So
yeah, good stuff.
And yes, and then Jamie mentions Evan Hull, of course, from last year.
You wanted to live again, that one.
Top five guy the whole way through, and then thanks Colts for burying him behind Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, and Zach Moss. Yep. All right, let's get to some guys that we kind of expected to do well, and they did well. Let me go ahead and hit that drop.
But they are who we thought they were.
They are who we thought we were.
Let them off the hook.
Yeah, we let them off the hook. So these are guys that we kind of expected to do well going in, and they kind of did what they expected them to do. So, Jeff, I'll let you go first here. Pick one of those receivers you want to talk about.
Yeah, Xavier Worthy. I think I kind of had the expectation that he would be the fastest wide receiver of the group, and he was the fastest wide receiver in the history of the combine. So that speed definitely showed up. I think some of the questions about him just weren't able to be answered here in terms of the physicality and the kind of some drops that he had. But other than that, I think testing was exactly what you would have expected in terms of running very, very fast. And then it was almost one of those things. He ran so fast, he just could take the rest of the time off, because once you do a 4.21, you've put yourself on the radar.
Yeah. So one thing I want to ask you, because I've seen a lot of this on Twitter and Facebook, that he was like almost so fast that it's now hurt him a little bit, because people are starting to compare him to the other guys that, you know, had the fastest time and how they were all bust. I've heard that John, you know, he's just going to be John Ross, but I'm like, so you want him to run slower so that you can go back and look at his production and his route running ability. And, you know, he's a good player and ran the fastest time in 40. I don't know why people are kind of dinging him for being too fast. Do you see that a lot, Jeff?
I think that we're bored and kind of probably tired and just thinking about maybe too much right now. There's a lot of input that's coming in rookie season, and it leads to some interesting outputs, I guess. I don't know. I think it's kind of ridiculous. I think every player, and comps are fun. I love doing comps, and we do a lot of comps, but at the same time, just to comp a guy because he's fast to another guy that's fast is really just not fair, I don't think.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, John Ross and Tyreek Hill. There's a wide range of outcomes for two fast receivers that he compares well to.
Is Tyreek Hill too fast? I mean,
yeah, it is a bit ridiculous. I think there's like, you know, the list of players are always the fastest combine time, and it's like they're not the same player. You know, some of those guys that, you know, beat the fastest time were the straight line. You know, I'm just going to go deep every single time, and they don't really translate to fantasy. So I think Xavier Worthy has the ability to be a good receiver, and he also happens to be the fastest receiver in the combine. So 100%.
For sure. I mean, and I'm just going to shout out the shirt I'm wearing, Pros with Joes, Eric Romov, also of the Going for Two fame. I'm just a Joe, but Jeff really does seem like a pro. Like, Xavier Worthy's college profile is just like far superior to John Ross, right? Like, I'm not like seeing that wrong. Like, it just seems like he's a totally different receiver than John Ross. Like, he's actually a good prospect who might maybe gets elevated to a top three, top 10, you know, spot in the NFL draft like Ross, but seems like he would be more deserved in this case.
Yeah, he was an immediate contributor as a freshman. He dealt with some injuries his sophomore year. Last year, I'm seeing so a lot of what I'm seeing analytically that's coming out right now is burying Xavier Worthy and burying Adonai Mitchell based upon some things. And to me, when you have two wide receivers that crush the combine, that look on tape, that can make plays, and you're saying both of them, their analytical profile is not good, what's the common denominator there? And that's Quinn Ewers. And I think that Quinn Ewers' deep ball is not particularly good whatsoever. And I think that when you see those two performances there and you see what those guys are capable of, if there's a common theme, then maybe it's that common theme.
Oh, good point.
I don't get what the production profiles say, because like Worthy's dominator rating is 31.4 for average over the course of his college career. For reference sake, Marvin Harrison is 38.6. So, like, that's what we have as a ceiling for this class.
Yeah.
Everyone's on Ladd McConkey. His career dominator rating was 13.3. So, like, Worthy is definitely a lot closer to the top of this class than the bottom. His receiving yards per team pass attempt, his best season was 2.89. Neighbors and Harrison are kind of just, you know, Neighbors is like 3.82. Marvin Harrison last year, I think, was 3.08. So a 2.89, pretty close to Marvin Harrison.
Yeah,
the guy isn't that far off in terms of the production. So I don't get it either. Like, it seems like he's everything you want in a receiver, to be honest. He's my wide receiver three.
Yeah. Speaking of wide receiver three, there's a guy that I did pre-combine. I had Mr. Keon Coleman as my receiver three, and I caught a lot of flack for it on Facebook, on Twitter. And he went out, and I will say I lowered him a little bit, but he went out, and he kind of performed the way I thought he was going to perform. I didn't expect him to run a fast 40. He didn't. But he came out and absolutely dominated in the gauntlet. I think he ran the fastest gauntlet time of all the receivers. To kind of show you that, you know, sometimes speed is not all it's cut out to be. If you have playing speed or, you know, football speed is different than running a 40. I still love Keon Coleman. I dropped him to my receiver five, not so much because of what he did, but because what Roma Dunze did. And I believe I moved Brian Thomas Jr. above him as well because he, you know, surprised me. So Keon Coleman dropped, but no fault of his own. I think he is kind of where I want him to be in that sort of 5-6 range. I just love Keon Coleman. I think he could be one of those players that maybe he struggled a little bit in college, but his profile, his body type, his profile is more geared towards the NFL, where I think he can have a better NFL career than he had a college career. He's like one of those kind of guys. I mean, was he 6'4", 215 pounds? He's great at the catch point. I know people want to point to his contested catches this year not being what it was the year before. But I still think he has that ability. He likes to high point. He's extremely physical, which we see a lot of these guys coming out of college now that just aren't physical. You know, they might be big or fast, but they're not physical. And I think he has that physicality that, you know, that you really can't teach. You're either a really physical guy or you're not. And I think he's very physical at the catch point. And I love Keon Coleman. So he kind of did what I thought he was going to do at the combine. And I'm kind of keeping him sort of in that top six receiver range. Kyle, you have a name, Iman Bailey there, or Imani Bailey. Talk about him being a guy that you like.
That's the thing. I didn't know this was a thing that we like. This is, we are who they thought they were. I thought he was absolutely awful.
Oh, fair enough. And that is the segment, so go with it.
So sorry about that, Imani Bailey. No TCU bias at all, as much as I love purple jerseys, because I loved Kendre Miller. He was my number two RB in film grades last year, and I had him pretty high, top three, top four throughout the whole process, even after the draft. Love Kendre Miller. Imani Bailey, the exact opposite. His footwork was actually fine. I've got all my tape grades here. He was sixth in footwork, and he still finished. If you look at I put out an article on fullpresscoverage.com. It was the kind of breakdown of the film grades of my top 20 running backs. He's not in there because he's 21. He's not 20. And even with good footwork score, he was 18th in the fluidity score, body flexibility. 17th in contact balance, goes down pretty easily. I had him dead last in the burst score. And guess what? His relative athletic score ended up being a 3.58. We talk about Cody Schrader and Dylan Johnson or even Ray Davis being bad. He's worse than all of them. And so I'm not even remotely surprised because he looked slow to me on tape. And it's not athletic at all. As much as the footwork's decent, the top six is pretty good. The rest of it just seems awful. It doesn't seem like he's a good running back at all. So Imani Bailey is going to probably be right now currently outside my top 20 running backs. He's probably going to remain there unless the draft capital drastically changes that.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, let's move down into our listener question section.
Go ahead. Ask me anything.
All right, we got a couple trade questions here from the Discord. First one comes from So Gringo on Discord. He is looking at getting Jordan Love and A.J. Brown for Lamar Miller and a 2024 rookie 1.06.
Lamar Miller really changes this. I was totally thinking something different with
Lamar Jackson. Sorry, I don't know why I said Lamar Miller. Lamar Jackson. I
haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah. I don't know where I was going with that.
Since I trimmed my beard.
Sorry. Jordan Love, A.J. Brown for Lamar Jackson and the 106 this year. It is it looks like a half point PPR tight end premium super flex league. Kyle, I'm going to go to you first here because you're the Packers fan. You know, Jordan Love, I know you didn't like coming into the season. I think you've turned it around a little bit. But what's your thoughts here on this trade?
Yeah, we've actually seen him produce in the NFL. Like, it's crazy. But it's still Lamar Jackson. We've seen him produce at an elite top tier QB1 level at times. So, you know, is AJ Brown worth the 106? Probably would rather have AJ Brown. But if it comes at, you know, pivoting down from Lamar to Jordan Love, I'll take Lamar in the rookie.
Yeah.
Thinking that even if I can, you know, push the rookie pick to next year, even if I don't love who's there, can I get a 25 first and something else? And then in season, that's how I build the team around Lamar, that extra pick.
Yeah, good call.
But I would, you know, I think this is a worthy price to pay for Lamar. As much as, you know, AJ Brown's great, you're taking Lamar ahead of him in a startup, and I would give up AJ Brown to go.
I'm with you 100%. I think Lamar Jackson is the key component there in Superflex League. I want Lamar Jackson 100%. This next one is from The Ox, says on Discord, half point PPR tight end premium, Jeff. He was offered Kincaid and the 101 for his 102 and 103. I'm curious to your thoughts here. Tight end premium, so Kincaid's pretty valuable. Obviously, the 101 is pretty valuable, but you're getting the 102 and the 103. What are your thoughts here?
I guess he's got a note in there about seeing his current roster, and we can't see his current roster. So I'm not sure. I mean, if he's loaded at quarterback right now, then I would consider maybe, golly, I don't know, to move off of Caleb Williams is tough. But then when you're looking at potentially getting Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers at the 102 and 103, and if you need wide receivers and if you're set at quarterback, and that's a pretty good flip, I think, of what you can do for Caleb. But again, like, what's Caleb's value? Like, it's just so tough with these guys of, yeah, like, is it sell high, sell low? And I'm the type, like, I always, if I'm dealing with an asset like Caleb Williams, I'm looking to tier up usually instead of kind of split it. And so that's kind of my mindset. But
yeah, Kyle, I saw you kind of nod there. Are you in agreement there, or do you disagree?
I mean, the one thing is, we don't know for sure Caleb goes 101. Maybe this person is trading for this pick because they absolutely want Marvin Harrison. That's why they're giving up the 102, 103 to get that. They want that one singular asset. Maybe you still end up with Caleb at the 102 anyway. So, yeah, I think I would definitely take the two picks here. I feel like I can do a lot more liquid-wise. You know, this person who's trading away those two picks for Kincaid, they clearly want a tight end. But if managers in your league don't want a tight end, that the 101 Kincaid maybe doesn't get you that tier up those elite assets like these two picks would. Maybe that's how you get into that elite quarterback. So I think the one thing that looks different to me in this trade is Kincaid, and I think because his value just is lower than all three of these picks. So yeah, I agree with Jeff. I won't.
All right, good stuff. All right, this next one's from Tyler Smith, and this is more about sort of the construction of your leagues, you know, getting the settings down. And he wants to know, is there any real advantage to doing it two conferences other than just, you know, so you win your conference, you get a bye, as opposed to just having one big, large group of teams? And I'll go to you first, Kyle, on this one. We'll both answer these questions here. So what are your thoughts on having two conferences in your leagues?
I'd argue that, like, what they said, yeah, Tyler, isn't even an advantage because, you know, if you just have one big league, your top two teams would still get the first round bye, right? And I mean, you know, if you have eight playoff teams at two conferences, they're still not getting the first round bye. So, I mean, that's kind of almost irrelevant to that. Really, that's something you would add to incentivize and make, you know, winning your conference or division much more palatable.
Right.
I think the one advantage to doing it really doesn't come from the fantasy football itself. So I've got one league where we do have divisions. Had divisions the whole time since 2015. And what we do is, each year, it's a different theme name, and it's usually one versus the other. I think the very first year, we did Marvel versus DC, so one division was one division was the other. And how we do it is we'll make a league poll and vote on what the theme's going to be, and then the previous league's winner gets to decide what their division gets to be. So, like, I find that's fun to make it and to almost justify having the divisions. But I honestly can't think of one single reason in terms of strictly the fantasy football and playing and making the league better just because of the division. I can't think of any reason why you would do that. So Jeff, if you have something, feel free to share it.
So I'll piggyback onto that. Cause then I'll let Jeff give his thoughts here. Cause in my leagues that I run, I actually do three divisions, 12 teams. I divide them into three, and I'll tell you why. Cause with the 17 game schedule, the symmetry works out perfect, where you play every team in your division twice and you play every other team once. And it works out perfectly with the 17 games. Now, they push it to 18 games, messes up the whole symmetry, and then I got to rethink everything. But with the three divisions, you get that perfect symmetry where you've played every team in the league, you played your division mates twice, and then it's playoff time. So it really works out with for me with the three divisions. I have it set up in my leagues where the three division winners do get into the playoffs, but they're not necessarily guaranteed, you know, to be the 1-2 or the 3 seed. It's done by record still at that point. So you get into the playoffs by being a division winner, but you aren't getting a top 3 seed necessarily if another division has a better team than you. So that's how I do my leagues. What about you, Jeff? What are your thoughts on divisions?
No divisions. I do not like divisions. And ideally, have rivalries. Have that person that you really just want to beat in your league. And so those, when you're playing somebody twice, kind of try to match up your league with rivalries. Like in my home league, my brother-in-law is in the league and we have gone back and forth in multiple championships, and he's probably my rival a little bit in that league. And so it would be fun to be able to play him twice. And I think that kind of, as you can see some organic relationships grow out of leagues, and you know, maybe somebody brings a buddy in just to fill a spot. Okay, well, maybe that's their rival now. And you can play them twice. You mentioned week 18. I feel like we should have week 16 be the championship, to be honest with you. Like we got the extra week and we all just kind of said, oh, an extra week of playing fantasy football, instead of, maybe it'd be nice if we just had an extra week of just watching football without fantasy at stake and leaving it at week 16. But that's kind of my opinion on that. But I know that we all just kind of ran right into having the extra week.
Yeah. Johnny Mac, I'm going to answer your question here. So Johnny Mac's question is, he's not a fan of divisions because they always seem unbalanced and he always ends up being in the toughest division. So the way I do my leagues to kind of combat that a little bit, you know, it helps a little bit, but I push all the division games. I push the first division game to the beginning of the season. And then the last three games of the season is also all division games. So if you have a tough division, if you can somehow find a way at the end of the year to run the table in your division, you still, even being last in your division, you run the table in your division of those last three games, you find a way to pull it out, it could put you into the playoffs because you're giving your division mates all a loss and then taking that, you know, those three victories. So it kind of opens it up when you only have to beat, when there's four teams in your division and you only got to beat, you know, a couple of guys at the end, it gives you the opportunity to get into the playoffs and it keeps it competitive right up to the end. You know, where if you have just a mass of teams and you're on the bottom, you know, two or three or four teams, you're probably not going to get into the playoffs no matter what you do at the end of the season. But when you have divisions, you still have that opportunity to play right up until the last minute. And the league that I've been running, you know, these divisions in has been going since 1996, 97. So it's been around for a very long time. And there's very few years where we go into that last week that, you know, there might be two teams that are mathematically eliminated, but it's pretty much that last week is like pandemonium because everyone has an opportunity to sort of, you know, make it to the playoffs if a certain few things happen here and there. And that's why I like divisions, because it makes it sort of competitive right up to the end. All right, that wraps up our listener questions. Let's go ahead and jump right into the Forgotten Fantasy Player.
Get ready for goingfor2.com's Forgotten Fantasy Player of the Week.
All right, so Jeff hasn't been on the show in a long time. When he came on the last time, we would just have you give us your Forgotten Fantasy Player and you would just talk about him and, you know, tell a little story about him. But now we've graduated to the point where we're trying to guess your Forgotten Fantasy Player. So, Jeff, go ahead and give us your first hints here.
How many hints do you want? Like, just like one hint?
We'll just
go off?
Give us one hint and we'll think if we can figure it out. And then you can just keep giving us more hints until we eventually get it.
Okay, this player is tied for the second most receiving touchdowns in a season for their franchise history. And the player he is tied with is a player that is a top end elite fantasy asset right now.
All right, say that one more time. I'm going to make sure I can follow this.
So this player had the second most receiving touchdowns in a season, and he's tied with somebody that also had the second most receiving touchdowns for his franchise in a season. That player he's tied with is a top level first round, no question, elite fantasy player right now.
Hmm. All right, so I'm thinking of all the elite fantasy players.
Yeah, same.
Give us an era. Like, where are we thinking with an era with this guy? Is he
in our era? I mean, it's not that well. It's starting to be that long ago, but it's very, very in our era. So
saying in our era, but I have a feeling my era is a lot longer than your era.
as Jamie put out,
I started playing fantasy in '99. So
okay, fair enough. Not too bad. All right, I need some more hints.
He went to Notre Dame.
Went to Notre Dame. So that doesn't help me because I'm not a huge college guy. So I'm just trying to think of.
I'm still not convinced that place is in America. It's French. Notre Dame. It sounds like he'd be in Canada.
All right. He is not a wide receiver.
He is not a wide receiver. Ooh. See.
Well, the receiving touchdowns, unless it's a running back that caught a ton, I guess that makes it a tight end.
It's got to be tight end. So, tight end from Notre Dame. See, that would probably help Ryan out because Ryan's the college guy. He would probably know off the top of his head. I could probably.
No tight ends ever produce are the ones that do. Yeah. They stand out. I'm thinking of like who's that superstar currently, and I wonder. I'm thinking, is it Jamar Chase? Like, who's a current, like, I'm thinking almost like a first round pick that would have enough touchdowns produced to be like in a single season. That's the second most this franchise has ever had. Yeah. I don't know if the Bengals have had like massive receivers. So tight end used to play for Cincinnati.
All right, Jeff, give us another one.
He had one top five season at his position for fantasy in his career.
So he's a one-hit wonder.
He's not yes. I mean,
you could have multiple top 12 that
true,
are like...
True, yeah, you're right.
Especially a tight end that doesn't mean much. He's tight end 8 again. Oh,
Johnny Mac guessed Kyle. Johnny Mac guessed Kyle Rudolph, so I'm going to guess Kyle Rudolph. Is that right?
It's not Kyle Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph. I was thinking Vikings too, Johnny Mac. I was trying to think of tight ends.
Yeah, with Jefferson. But
yeah.
I mean, they had Randy. Well, I guess that would be first. Who's second in the franchise?
Man, Jeff, this is tough, man. You got a stump tonight.
His final season was the COVID year. And he did not play he played one season for the team that, for a different team than he had played his entire career with.
Robbie just guessed Jason Witten, but that's not right because I know Jason Witten finished up.
It's definitely not Jason Witten.
Yeah, he just finished up with Dallas.
I was just about to say that one actually. So yeah. Okay, I'm glad I didn't. Oh wait,
Tyler Eifert. I don't has he?
It is Tyler Eifert.
It is Tyler Eifert. Wow.
Oh, there you go. Jamie got it.
Good job, right, Jamie. Fire.
Okay, I was wondering what you were trying to say. Like, okay, we didn't need to know that, Jamie. Did you have too much maple syrup, eh? He was asking how it was.
Tyler Eifert, really? Wow, that's Tyler Eifert. That's a good
pull. He had one top five tight end season. He had like 13 touchdowns, which ties Jamar Chase for second most in Bengals history behind Carl Pickens had 17 in 1990.
So I had. It was a Bengals tight end. I just need to actually put Eifert.
Yeah, you were there. You were there. I thought you were going to get it. Yeah, and then he played one season for Jacksonville after playing for the Bengals his entire career.
Good stuff. Great pull and great job, Jamie.
Good job, Jamie.
Jamie, give it to Jamie. He has the advantage of Google, though. We're not allowed to Google on the show, but he might have been at home like Googling Notre Dame tight ends and came up with that. Just kidding. Jamie knows his stuff. He probably did get it right. He's gotten these before us quite a few times in the during the show.
It was like he should be the co-host.
All right. Well, that wraps the podcast up. We're going to go around the room. Give us your Twitter handle where we can follow you, plug anything you got going on. We'll go to you first, Jeff.
Yeah. For Whom J Bell Tolls on Twitter. I'm with Football Guys, and you can find me on the Football Guys Dynasty show. Find me with the Football Guys Rookie Guide. Writing articles once tax season is over and I can breathe again. And other than that, once we get into the season, quite a bit more stuff. So
good stuff. Kyle, what you got going on?
So as I mentioned earlier, I co-host the Full Press Fantasy Pod, Full Press Packers Pod. We actually just released an episode today of the Full Press Fantasy Pod. We had Braden Holacek, the Full Press Chiefs managing editor, come on, talk about the franchise tag. I also let him brag a little bit about the Super Bowl. I'm going to mention that. But yeah, franchise tags with the Chiefs did tag somebody, so I thought it was appropriate to hear what Braden had to say about Snead. Talked a little bit about, you know, Higgins, Pittman. We did reference all the other players too, but certainly spoke a lot of time about the comparison between those two. So, franchise tag themed episode, but certainly we'll go on every week on that throughout the season, off season, both seasons, doesn't matter. I think we took a break the week of the Super Bowl and then right back to it. So yeah, Full Press Fantasy Pod. You can follow me on X at Senra Says. Yeah, press coverage will eventually start back up.
Soon, right?
Working on that, but I'll get there. There'll be episodes this year.
Good stuff.
Jamie will be happy.
All right, yeah, I want to thank both these guys. Jeff, I know this is like your busy time in your real world life, so the fact that you're able to find time to jump on here, really appreciate it. And Kyle actually found out about 2 hours ago that he was coming on the show, so appreciate you for jumping on, filling in for Ryan. Hopefully Ryan is having a better day. He had a shit day at work and just was not feeling like doing a podcast, so appreciate you jumping on, Kyle. As always, guys, you can follow me on Twitter/X at JeffLambert77. And lately, I've been a lot on Facebook lately. If you see a lot of the graphics I'm putting out, you can find our Facebook page. Just search for Going for Two. It's on there. Putting out a ton of stuff on Facebook lately because it just seems to be getting some better engagement recently over Twitter. So find us over there on Facebook as well. For Kyle, for Jeff, I am also Jeff, and we will see y'all next week.